Hello, and welcome back to After Hours with Amanda, the parenting podcast that's not just for parents and isn't totally all about parenting. But honestly, I mean, let's be real, it is. I have to tell you, we leave technically for Maui. Fingers crossed, y'all, that the stars align with everything. Because let me just tell you, I will be believing it when we're on the plane because this trip has been canceled like 6 times. So keep your fingers crossed for me. Send me all your good vibes. But we are T-minus, I think it's 11 days. Is it 11? No, wait. It's 12. It's 11 or 12 days. And I'm very excited because the kids have been so looking forward to it. And I think my excitement is not even about going to Maui. It's about me getting to take the kids and see them in Maui because they get so excited for trips like this. We took a week off from the podcast. It was my birthday, and we all know that my ability to plan ahead is very, very not great. I don't even know how to put that. It's not slightly underrated. It's probably overrated. I don't even know if that's a thing, but I honestly was like, it's not happening. So I'm excited. I have to tell you, I sort of have a bee in my bonnet. And there's been so many suggestions as of late of some really cool topics that we didn't get to last season in terms of dating and relationships. And so today is just going to be like a hodgepodge episode of kind of touching on a lot of different things. And we're going to see where it takes us. We're going to strap in for the roller coaster ride that is this episode because I have some things that I just want to touch on and I think are important to note as you are maybe trying to look towards being a parent that has that gentle parenting vibe, respectful parenting, whatever you want to call it. Or if you're just someone that wants to kind of like change your mindset when it comes to dealing with people, because you will be so shocked at how when you begin to view the little people in your life as individuals, how it really impacts you long term with the relationships you have in human relationships. And also the really irritating thing about that, because what it does once you kind of internalize this idea is it holds you to this higher accountability because you're so self-aware of thinking of being in that other person's shoes and creating that level of empathy that when you want to be pissed, like I get so often about other things or just things in general, because this lie that a gentle parent never gets irritated or angry or frustrated is just a myth. It's a myth, mythical, okay? Like it doesn't exist. But what happens is when you're in certain situations and you want to react in one way, you find yourself going to react the other way because of the simple fact that you have empathy for the person involved. And you're like, dang it, I really want to be immature right now. Why can't I be? I just got a text message. I'm trying to get the girls into tumbling, y'all. They've been begging me for forever and it looks like I found a place. So keep your fingers crossed for me. But first off, I want to talk about something that came up last week. Someone commented on my videos because, you know, there's always just one person that has to kind of like explain whatever they want to. And it was this comment on my video. And like I said, I'm really good about not reading comments after about 15 minutes. And it's not because I don't want to. It's because I will start to reply to comments. And what I've found is you'll find one that's really angry or heinous and or frustrating. And they then like you spiral. So here's what it is. Someone commented on my video and they're like, the first time you called them tiny humans, that was cool. But calling them tiny humans now, like, ew, just call them your kids. And here's the thing, that doesn't actually bother me. I'm not actually offended by it, but it's irritating because to me, it is in my effort to humanize the little people, the tiny humans in my life, someone's coming in and being like, well, just call them your kids. And it's like, I understand that. But when I'm conveying something or telling a story, do I tell people in my life, oh, my tiny people? No, I call them by their names or I call them my girls or stuff like that. But when I'm sharing content, I call them tiny humans for the fact of getting us into that mindset that so often very few of us have of the fact that they are literal tiny humans. They're little people. They are little people that at one point we're going to expect to handle a car. And if we haven't given them enough autonomy to handle getting a snack by choosing it themselves or having an opinion on what they want to eat for dinner, how do you expect them to operate a like 5,000 ton vehicle? Like, see, that's the thing. Here's the thing with that. When we fail to give our kids autonomy and choices at a young age, yes, when my kids drive eventually, I'm going to be terrified because I love them so much and I don't want something happening. Okay. Hugely, hugely worried. But up until that point, I'm hoping that I, as a parent, will make choices that enables them to have the confidence when they get there. And that my worry won't be so much for them being, oh, unable to do this or that, but it'll be like, oh, okay, we'll just keep them safe on other drivers out on the road and stuff like that. Because we so often find them like, I'm not going to let my child do this, or I'm not going to let my child do this. And then they start driving a car. And we go from 0 to 60 in the trust spectrum. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Because to me, I think it's, oh, they texted me back, you guys. Anyways, so they expect this level of responsibility when we have not previously given them the opportunity to do that. Whether that's going and running the errands and we're at the grocery store with them and we hand them the list, whether it's them helping make the list, everything we do for them is training. It's teaching. And it's not just about listening to us. It's not just about saying, hey, take the meat out of the freezer. You know, the big joke, take the meat out of the freezer before I get home, right? It's about little by little showing them in the things we do. Hey, you guys, we're going to have dinner at 4. I should probably take the meat out, huh? And me modeling that for them. And then like London last night, I was reminded by a friend that I don't give them much autonomy in the kitchen. And that's, of course, obviously there are hot plates. Okay. But last night we were getting ready for dinner and I asked London, and I want to preface this, we do not sit at the table all together every night, but we do try and do it a few nights a week. So London had been wanting to set the table. And so I said, why don't you go ahead and set the table? And then I was making some crescent rolls and I was reminded of how simple rolling crescent rolls can be. There's no hot plates involved. We're not putting them to the oven. So I said, hey, do you want to roll these crescents for me? And the excitement that she got when I asked her to participate and have that responsibility, that's just one of those micro moments that we build on. So then it turns into her grabbing the crescent rolls right out of the fridge. Then it turns into her helping me with dinner. Then it provides her skills. So when she gets older and she's out on her own, like I was, she's not like, wait, hold on a second. What do you do with the mac and cheese? And it's not the fact of like, they need to have responsibility because they're an active member in this house. We do operate on a team environment, but it comes from this idea that I need to prepare her for her future. And there are tactical things that I can do. Now, I still make their breakfast in the morning. I still get their juice because I love serving my babies. Acts of service for me to them is brushing their hair and brushing their teeth. And I take a big responsibility, like pride in that. So I can do that for them. Like, here's this, or I can do this with you or this with you. And so I love doing that, but I also like to include them in things that are fun, as simple as when they're 3 and they can't really bake with you, but letting them put the little baking sheets into the cupcake holders. There are little ways that you can build your tiny human's confidence in daily practices. It's like this idea, people, I get questioned a lot. I get this question a lot and I get tagged in videos all the time. And I will tell you sometimes, I'll be real honest, sometimes it can be very triggering for me to watch those videos because it's very hurtful sometimes. And I'm not blaming the parent, but for me, I really take on the emotions of everyone involved in this situation. And so it's this really heavy emotion that just weighs, you know what I mean? But there's been several different videos where people are like, well, my 3-year-old won't clean her room. And I'm like, dude, she's 3. I can barely keep my room clean. So like, let's just start with developmental things there. Like there's a reason when you go to preschool, the teachers say, okay, it's cleanup time. And they sing clean up, everybody do your share, clean up, everybody everywhere. Or you can change it to little helpers everywhere or tiny humans everywhere or whatever you want to be. You can really rhyme the end of that. Y'all didn't know you were gonna be getting a private concert, huh? But the thing is that it is so tactical to build that. You don't look at them and go, pick up your room. And they're looking at you like, okay, dude. And like, what? Okay. So then they shove it in drawers and then you're like, that's not where it goes. And they're like, okay. One time my friend who had a 7-year-old had grown up, they had this really great idea. They said that they cleaned their room initially for the kiddo and they, you know, found out where they wanted the stuff, where the kiddo felt comfortable with the stuff. And then they snapped photos of it and they left photos in the room. So they were like, hey, when you get a chance, can you pick up your room? And the kid could reference the photos to where the stuff went, and not like it had to be perfect to the photo. So don't hear what I'm not saying, but it gave them a frame of reference. You know, for me, there are things I avoid all the time. I avoid things all the time out of life, out of not wanting to do it, out of just literally personality traits. And cleaning my room was always this like forced thing. My mom was very neat and she liked things orderly. So she would just clean our room for us when we were a little kid. And then as we got older, it would drive her insane when our rooms weren't clean. And so she'd be like, you're not taking care of your stuff. You know, I'm just going to bag it all up. And, you know, the typical things that happen. And the thing is that a three-year-old is not meant to clean their room on their own. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say it. A three-year-old is not meant to clean their room on their own. They are meant to, with time, clean it with you, learn tactical things, and make it fun. Like, why does cleaning have to be such an intense battle? It doesn't. You know that saying, pick your battles? Well, with my five-year-old Paige, when I look at Paige, I know she's going to put things in the wrong places. And I'm like, well, that's not the appropriate place that I wanted it, but it's the intent that counts. So I'll say, hey, do you want help doing this? And Paige actually, to make it easier for herself, when we were redoing things this summer, we made a pant drawer, top drawer, dress drawer. Don't care if it's folded, right? So I'll say, hey, can you put your dresses away? Hey, can you put your pants away? And Paige now has a frame of reference. Oh, my pant drawer, my top drawer, and this drawer. And then with her toys, we just throw it all into a bin. And so it makes it easy and functional for them. So I can ask for their help. You know, it gives them a sense of responsibility and ownership. I so often get so overwhelmed by the laundry. And so one day Blake was like, you should have them help. It'd probably be fun. And I was like, okay. I was like, the pile had gotten so large, y'all. You know how Eduardo gets, okay? He just grows and then he has family, okay? And so I had the girls come in and I was like, okay, can you dig through the treasure pile and find your stuff? I'll put on a movie. Just put it in your piles and then I'll get it how I need it to go into your rooms. Having them do that. And then I was like, okay, can you come and help me put it away? And we did it together. See, because I think that there's this real weird concept that we've all stuck to, which is like, this is my part of the house and this is your part of the house and this is my house, and such ownership versus this like community of things where when we involve everyone, hey, can you help mom with this? Hey, can I help you with that? And then London can look at me and she'll be like, hey, mom, I didn't get to make my bed this morning. Will you mind making it for me? And I'll be like, sure. And then later in the day, she'll be like, hey, mom, can I help you get that out of the car? And I'll be like, yeah, thank you for that team. It's great because I made your bed this morning and now you're helping me here. Look at us. We're a team. And I remind her not to say, well, I made your bed this morning. You need to help me. But to show her that we are working together. I'll tell you, here's the bee in my bonnet now that I've prefaced and kind of like gone. Like I said, it's a hodgepodge. We're riding the rails of my mind, okay? But here's the thing. Someone posted this video, and I actually love this creator. He's hysterical. And it's all satirical. I get it, okay? But he was talking about like old school moms. Like, you don't need to give your kid a reason, and you don't need to do this or that, and gentle parenting, this and that. And I want to dispel this myth that gentle parenting is indulgent, that gentle parenting doesn't teach responsibility, that this idea of seeing your child as someone with real emotions and opinions is in some way detrimental to society. Because people take this idea of gentle parenting and they pair it with permissive. They pair it with permissive because for so long we've been taught that kids should do as I say, not as I do, and they're seen and not heard. I was told by my dad's mom, most of my life, children should be seen and not heard. It's the respectful thing to do. You sit at the table and the adults talk. Well, that's boring as snot, okay? It's real boring and it's real demoralizing when you don't feel like you can even talk at a dinner table, right? And now granted, I loved my grandmother. As I got older, we came to this place where we were able to communicate better before she passed, but she was super old school. You did not talk at that dinner table unless you were spoken to. You just sat. And here's the thing. It's not. Respectful parenting is based off this idea that children are human beings with emotions and ideas, and that our job is to cultivate that and move forward in that in helping them be better adults who can manage their emotions when things happen. So when you see them having a tantrum at three, which is developmentally appropriate and totally on par with where they're at with their mindset and these big emotions, you don't look at it in this negative sense of it being defiant. You look at it as in, okay, here we need to find some tools. And I will tell you, it is a repetitious thing. I don't know if repetitious is a word, but we just made it a word. It is a repetitious thing that happens over and over and over. Because when you don't do that, you look at them and you say, you're three. What do you have to cry about? You're 15. Your boyfriend broke up with you. You don't know what heartbreak is. You're 21. You don't like college. Suck it up. You're 30 and your job sucks? Hey, that's life, buddy. That's what we got. Hey, you're 45 and you're not talking to anyone about anything. You're completely emotionally closed off. You hate your job. You're depressed and your family feels completely disconnected to you. There's a video actually that perfectly references this. Mr. Chaz just did it. And he actually goes to this really, it's actually a very sad, dark place that the video ends on, but it has very, it brings an awareness to the fact that when you spend so long, basically not acknowledging emotions and basically pushing them down, that you reach this point where you just want the feelings to stop. If you know what I mean. And I'm not tying that to everything. I'm not saying if you don't gentle parent, this is where we all end up. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this idea that I turned out fine is totally based off of checklist items. I turned out fine. I have a job. I'm a functioning adult to society. But what is that measure? What is that measure in quality of life? It doesn't. It's no measure in quality of life. I could say I'm doing just fine and I could quit going to therapy right now and I could quit letting my tiny, but what would I be doing? Well, I would be hiding my emotions. I would be, I don't know why I want to say some, like it's an S word and I can't think of it, but I would be basically denying myself the ability to work through things to be better. And for my tiny people, I would be telling them, you know what? The world doesn't care about your emotions and neither do I. Because here's the thing. People always want to say, you need to prepare your kids for the real world. Well, honey, I don't, because the real world is going to treat them how it is. I need to prepare them for what to do when the real world treats them like crap. I don't need to treat them like that in their safe place. See, because when I teach them at 3, hey, you have big emotions, let's deal with this. And granted, Corey looked at me the other day and screamed at the top of her lungs. And I would tell you, every fiber in my being was set off. I was pissed in that moment because I'm looking at her like, are you joking with me right now? Like, and in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, if you only knew, my parents would have literally come unhinged if I had dared. And my parents were super loving and they were not crazy, like intensive and stuff, but you were not about to raise your voice because they were old school. Like they were raised by parents that like were even more old school, if you know what I mean. And I just looked at her and I looked at her very calmly when what I wanted to do was like yell. I looked at her, I said, don't you dare raise your voice. Like that. We use our words and our words cannot be expressed when we're screaming them because I can't hear you. My husband and I have this saying we learned in, I think it was marriage counseling, or there was a book that our therapist had recommended. It was called Love and Respect. It's amazing. It's all about how men communicate versus how women, and this idea that women operate off of this idea of love. Everything is conveying love and men operate off this idea of respect. And it was so life-changing for me when I realized that in an argument, Blake wasn't annoyed or feeling unloved. When I did things that upset him, it's because he felt disrespected. And when I would take things, and this is us, of course, so it's not just everybody, it's a generalization, but that when he would do something, I would get upset because it made me feel unloved if he was rude or said something, right? So this idea that they said we had a blue hearing aids and pink hearing aids and how we kind of hear on that, right? So our therapist in this book, the writer actually says he was having a conversation with his wife and he was talking about a disagreement and how when we raise our voices, it says, you can be right, but you're always wrong at that level. You lose an argument when you start yelling because it's very hard to hear someone when you go into defensive mode, when you feel like you're being accused and raising your voice, unless it's in an emergency. So don't DM me about how if my kid runs in the street, I have to yell. Like it's a completely separate issue, okay? I'm talking about this idea that when we yell, it conveys the message better. It doesn't. It convolutes the message. It convolutes the message because no one can hear what you're actually trying to say. All they can fear is the emotion that's coming from the level that you're speaking to them at. And that was one of the things that I loved in my degree. We studied this idea of paralanguage, of pitch and tone. And I love it because it's so telling. It's so telling when you're talking to someone, when they're emphasizing certain words or dropping certain words, or their pitch goes up or their pitch goes down, or where their tone falls with what they're saying, or how their eyes or how they're clenching their teeth or their jawline. It's so intriguing, right? And in conflict management and conflict resolution, and I took a class on, you know, how males and females communicate differently and how you know, that's kind of innate. And it's just this very interesting idea that you can be completely right with what you're saying, but when you're screaming in someone's face, you're always going to be wrong to them. And that's what I tell my girls. I go, you can be frustrated. You are allowed to go. If you want to go yell into a pillow, girl. But when you yell or you come to me and you're yelling in a tone like that, I'm not going to hear your message. And I want to hear your message. I'll tell Corey, because she's very, we're going through that stage that everything is very wine. The emotion is 0 to 80, 0 to 1,000, honestly, some days. And some of y'all might not know that because I don't put that on social media. Not that I don't talk about it, but that's Corey's learning moments. And I know for me as a parent and a person, I wouldn't want someone videoing that and then being like, so guys, like, I know it's great for real life examples and I don't mind when other creators make that choice. But I know for my tiny humans, it's very embarrassing to them. They don't like to be videotaped in emotional states when they feel vulnerable. Now, there's been different conversations that have happened while I've been filming Insta stories, and I always look at them and I go, is that okay if I share? Can mommy share with her friends? And I can't tell you how many times they've said no. And it's been, when you see the yeses, you've seen the yeses because they've approved. But the idea of this, where Corey is, you know, she's having these upset moments, right? And she whines is what we say. And so I say, Corey, I'm hearing your whine, but I can't hear your words. Can you help me hear your words? Do you need a second to gather your words? Because when she's looking at me, she's going, I want to die. And I give her a second, right? I give her that minute. But it's like with anybody in a relationship, when we notice somebody trailing into that anger or trailing into that yelling or trailing into where they're just not even going to talk to you, right? I mean, did anybody else have the silent treatment? That was one of the things my mom, when she was really mad with you, you got silent treatment. Woo! I tell you what, let me tell you, it freezes your soul. You're like, I just want you to talk to me. I just want you to talk to me. And what we need to realize in that moment is if someone's not willing to convey their words, we need to give them a second. We also need to be aware of emotional manipulation. I just want to say this on a sidebar. Silent treatment is emotional manipulation. It is not a tactic for good communication. It is not a way to get your message across. And if you are the person who does the silent treatment, we lost a little bit. If you are a person who does the silent treatment, I encourage you to really take time to talk to yourself, because I did it when Blake and I were first married. It was my emotional response because it was what I had been responded to. And I had to look at myself and say, why am I shutting down? Because I'm hurt. The silent treatment is coming from a place of hurt. Why am I not expressing that? I don't feel like I can communicate it. Why don't I feel like I can communicate it? So I want to walk you through this thought process. This week in a video, I shared someone where I talked about Lennon's homework. And I talked about how I didn't have a shining moment as a parent. And I just straight looked at her and was like, go away. And it wasn't like one of those moments where like I need to take a moment and I'm utilizing it as an effective tool. It was me being rude, kind of an a-hole, and just being like, go away, because I was irritated. Was it better that I said that than yelling at her? I mean, it depends on who you are. I would say yes, I'm glad. But I would also say no, it was a jerk thing to say. So I, of course, ended up apologizing, coming to her and explaining why I did what I did, not justifying. Because explaining with an apology is not a time to justify it. Well, I did it because you didn't get it. No, 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 no. If you're going to apologize, mean it. Don't go in looking for anything with the apology. Because if you go in with an apology, hoping for someone to respond in a certain way, you're not ready to give it. The apology is about closure and healing for you with what you did. Then you need to drop it and leave the shame of whatever happened at the door. So in the video, I said, do I still feel guilty about it? No, I apologized. And even if I do feel guilt, I need to move on from it. So in that thing, I said, here's why I did what I did. I was irritated. I didn't feel like you were listening. That is not on you. I'm not justifying it. I was internalizing that. I should have communicated that to you. I should have asked you what I could help to do with the distractions nearby. Did you need to go to another room? And so someone in that video said, well, how do you get there? Like, how do you get from telling them go away? And how do you in your thought process get there? So I'm going to walk you through the thought process of what I think of when I'm gentle parenting. And I will tell you the first step to even get to a place where you're going to have that thought is to learn to pause. And that's the hardest thing to do. And I don't always do it. It's not a foolproof plan, y'all. Not a foolproof plan. But if you can start to stop yourself before you start, ooh-wee. I would start, and sometimes it helps if you're tactical, right? Like I would carry, and I still do some days, like I'll carry something in my pocket or I will twist my, or before I do something, I'll say like, take a beat in my head, or even just something that you can come up with, right? Your child's screaming and you see them screaming, your initial reaction, make them be quiet before I even interact with them. Because honestly, if you try to interact right in the middle, they're going to probably keep flailing. I will look and I will tell myself, you need to go on this, like, take a beat. And then I will evaluate why. I will ask myself questions. Then you question yourself like an inner detective, right? Why are they upset? What's going on? Would I be upset? Yes. Am I annoyed by this 100%? Do I think that this is justified? No. But is that valid to who they are and what they're feeling? No. Because to them, this experience that they're having is very large. So I need to lead with empathy, right? I need to pause. So first I'm going to pause. I'm going to take a breath. Then I'm going to ask myself some questions. How would I feel right now? How do I feel? How do I feel when, you know, the DoorDasher brings my Coke and McDonald's forgets to put the straw, right? Because shout out to the DoorDashers, that bag is sealed. So McDonald's, it's on you. I don't ever blame a DoorDasher when something is missing because they are merely picking up a package. They are literally the delivery person. The restaurant is in charge. And I honestly don't really get mad at restaurants because God knows DoorDash and all this, it can get very confusing and hard. So I just like take it as it is. But so here we go. First, I breathe. I take a beat. I grab something. Then I ask myself questions. Then I find the empathy, right? And I'll tell you what, some days something's happening and I look at my husband and I go, I do not have the capacity for empathy in this moment. Can you take this one? And he'll look at me and be like, what's going on? I'm like, I just can't. Can you just like ask for a hug? That's the first thing I always do. I will give them the option of a hug right off the bat. I'll say, do you need a hug? Because sometimes when we're just feeling overwhelmed, we're not even really mad at anyone. We don't need you to come up with a solution, right? We just need a hug. I will say so often Corey does want a hug. Now, there are times she's like, no. And I'm like, can I talk to you about this? No. And I say, okay, you can be upset and you can cry, but you cannot scream. And let me tell you why. Dad is on a business call right now. It is not fair to him. Do you need to go somewhere where you can take a minute and cry or be upset? And I will tell you, with time, with London and Paige, I have seen this pay off in spades, y'all. London the other day got upset about something, started crying, and she stopped herself and she's like, I'm sorry. I was crying because honestly, I thought that would like get what I wanted. I'm not that upset about it. I'm just really like disappointed in the decision. My 8-year-old did that. I'm not, oh my gosh. Like, I will try to do that. But London did that. And I looked at her and I was like, oh, well, you know, you can cry. That's like my reminder for her. I'm like, you know, you're allowed to cry. She's like, yeah, but honestly, like, truly wasn't that upset. I'm just annoyed. Like, she'll do something and Corey will get upset and I won't see it in the backseat. And I'll be like, Corey, you can, I cannot understand the whine. I need to hear your words. What is going on? Please do not scream. And then I'll be like, sorry. I irritated her and I'm like, what? She's like, I know, I shouldn't have done it. Corey, I'm sorry. It's, you know, mom, that's on me. She doesn't irritate her a lot like that. But I just love the fact that like she sells herself out like that. She's like, and I'm like, Lennon, dude, come on. Like, thank you for the honesty. We're gonna move forward from this. I can't have you irritating her. It's very unfair. How would you like it? We always, let's turn it around. How would we feel? And because I want to instill that empathy in them as they're younger, because Lord knows they're going to grow up and they're going to be like, man, my mom really did me a disservice in XYZ of parenting. I'll never do that. I'll never do that to my kids. And they'll probably parent differently than I will. And I will encourage them to be better than I am. That's the goal. But I want them to have that empathy in them. Not that they always feel like they have to let the other person, you know, win, or that they can't be competitive, or they can't do certain things, but so they understand that. So they understand what it's like to be in the other person's shoe. I'll tell you what though, it's not fun to get called out at that. I was so annoyed the other day in the car. This woman, y'all, was trying me, okay? She was literally going 25 in a 40 zone and she kept pumping her brake, okay? And I'm like, lady, I love you. Lord Jesus be with you on the road, but move over, right? We're in a 2-lane road. And I'm thinking this in my head, right? And I look at her and I'm like, lady, come on, my gosh, what is your issue? And Lennon's like, mom, she looks older. I'm like, okay. She's like, maybe she's scared driving. Maybe something's going on, mom. You don't know. I would just wait to try and go around her. And I'm like, there's nowhere to go around her, London. She's like, mom, we should just wait. And I'm like, ugh. Like, oh, it's so, but in that moment, could I look at Lennon and be like, hey, you know what? Don't tell me what to do. I'm the adult. You're the child. Don't tell me what to do. Totally. Or could I take responsibility for the fact that Lennon's not wrong? Now, is this lady also wrong for driving 25 and a 40? Yes, we could absolutely cause a car accident here. But what was my real issue? I was pissed because I was running late because that was my issue. And it's so funny because when you create this idea of your kids as individuals and allowing them that space, they're going to challenge you. And here's the hard part. Your knee jerk is when the challenging comes. When my 8-year-old looks at me and is like, ooh, mom, I don't know if that's the best answer. Now, is she doing it to be disrespectful? Could I look at her and be like, how dare you? I am the adult in this scenario. I literally have 27 years on you, honey. I make the rules. Oh my gosh, absolutely yes. Or could I see it as an opportunity that maybe she has something to share that could be enlightening for me as a person? Could I take it that age doesn't have the determination on a person's value of their ideas? Yeah, I could. I could totally do that. But what's the easier thing to do? The easier thing to do is stay in our place of comfort where we are right all the time because we're the adults and we don't have to explain ourselves and we have this carte blanche on life, right? Isn't that the goal? That's the only reason anyone wants to be an adult. Because how many people go, God, I wish I was a kid? The only reason people want to be an adult is because they think it gives them the autonomy to do whatever they want and when they want and make their own decisions. And that is because they're not given that as tiny people. It's because it's suppressed for them. So they're going to get to do what they want when they get older. So they rush. I'm going to get older. I'm an adult. Finally, I'm an adult. What happens? Well, I'm terrified. I have anxiety about everything. I could be suffering from depression at this point. I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. And there's this idea that our parents didn't reveal to us that being an adult, sure, do you get to make decisions? Yeah, you can go buy ice cream at midnight if the market's open. But that's about it, girl, because you still got to get a job to pay for the ice cream and you need a place to live and you're going to need gas for your car. And when that emotion hits you, you're going to need tools to deal with it. And if you've not been given that, you're going to feel confused, like literally 90% of us are or were or still are. I'm still confused a lot of days. Like, hello, I'm in therapy working through it. But here's the idea. Gentle parenting, and I get so annoyed because I honestly want to find a better term for it than gentle or respectful parenting, like humanizing parenting. Like I want to call it humanizing parenting, okay? Because all you're doing is creating space for another individual. And so often we're all out here being like, well, we need to let people, you know, X, Y, Z and this, but yet we're not going to do that for our own like tiny humans in our life. And when I say tiny humans in your life, I'm not just talking about parenting. I'm talking about your impact on the people around you in your life. You're an aunt, you're an uncle, you're a childcare worker, you're a teacher, you're a babysitter, you're a nanny. You are anyone that can impact someone's life because you can make any tiny human feel seen. And when you make them feel seen, you make them feel heard, you build their confidence in who they are. You give them strength to say they can do something, to be okay with stuff. And that is something that so many people would benefit from. They always say it takes one adult to make a difference in a kid's life. You don't have to be their mom or dad or related to them. You don't have to be in a parental role. Letting a child feel seen opens up something for them that you can't even put into words the impact it has. Because I see it with London, and I see this girl who's been turned down. This is her third year running for class representative, and she's lost the previous 2 years. But I see her trying again, and I see her having her ideas and looking at me and saying, what do you think? And I say, well, what do you think? And she goes, I like it. And I go, do you just want to hear my approval? Because I think it's great. Now, will I give her, you know, positive feedback? Yeah. I'll be like, hey, maybe you want to spell that with the extra E it needs. Maybe you want to add the exclamation mark on that. Like, but letting them think for themselves and create ideas and have a voice gives them a voice long term. And it protects them. So often we think, I need to protect my daughter. I'm going to put her or son, you know, whoever. I have girls, so I always refer to them as girls, but you can have boys too. We put them in karate classes, right, to protect them because our biggest fear is something happening to them, right? Somebody violating their physical space. But do we think about somebody violating their emotional space? Do we think about somebody violating that internal space, that self-confidence space, that mental space? We don't safeguard them against it because when they get into a relationship that's negative possibly, and the power dynamic shifts, and they feel like they are the subordinate in that relationship and that person holds more power, they're going to react the exact way that they've acted their entire life. So the best way you can safeguard them is by helping them create a space where they're like, oh, hold on a second. I have some boundaries here. I have some real things that that matter. And my voice does get to get heard. And actually, no, you're not going to overtalk me. And actually, no, I don't agree with that. And actually, no, I don't want to do that. And it's going to build that confidence that they know that that's okay. That they can go into life. And if somebody does something that makes them uncomfortable, they don't have to be polite. Girl, being nice and being kind are two different things. The kindest thing you can do is take care of yourself in moments you feel uncomfortable. Not say, oh, sir, I'm so sorry. No, thank you so much for the drink. I don't want to drink it. And they look at, that's rude. Wow, I bought you that. Then you look and they look and they go, actually, it's rude. I've declined it. And I appreciate what you're doing here. I would like, no, thank you though. It gives them the power to say in any situation, male, female, son, daughter, what have you, to look and be like, yo, actually, I know who I am. I feel pretty confident about communication and I've communicated this to you. And if that doesn't work for you, here's the boundary. And if you keep crossing that, it's just not going to work relationally for me. Because we don't realize that parenting is not about blind obedience, about making beds or learning how to do things for yourself or keeping a clean room or saying yes and no. And then yes, no, please, thank you. Hello, I love manners. I love good manners. I'm about that, okay? But it is about teaching them to have a voice, how to have a voice, how to convey that message and communication. Because if you can help create good communicators, you can create world changers. You can create light bearers. But if you just want blind obedience, that's super easy. Just make all the rules about you and your comfort level. Give them no opinion on anything. Don't let them say no to anything, right? Because what you put on their plate, they have to eat, and it's rude if they don't. They don't get a choice in dinner. They don't get a choice when you go to the store. They don't get a voice at all. So keep them voiceless. And now, does it sound kind of harsh? Yeah, I'm getting kind of passionate about it. I want to, you know, emphasize that. But it doesn't mean that if you've already done that or if you're in this place that you can't in some way enact that in them. That you can't go to your teenager and say, hey, look, you know what? I know that up until this point, you might feel XYZ, but I really, really want to work on this. I kind of want to shift things. And I'm sorry if it hasn't felt like that before. I'm sorry if you don't trust me. I'm sorry if you don't believe me, but I want to show you as a person. That you can look at your five-year-old and you can say, hey, look, and you know what? It takes a lot of it takes a lot of something to apologize to a five-year-old when you're really just wanting to be like, actually, I'm right. And I want to be right because I don't want to feel wrong. Right. But you can do that at any point. You can go to an adult child and be like, yo, I know that things growing up, because my dad and I have had this conversation. I know that there were a lot of different things growing up, but like, I want to make a change. And, you know, one day down the road, if you do have like tiny people in your life, like I want to be a part of their life and I want to do that and I want to make it better and I want to help. And there's no point where we can't change who we are as people. And if you're a child of a house where you felt like your opinion didn't matter and your voices, you can do that for yourself now. That's the great thing, because there are some really cool benefits with being an adult. You can go to therapy. You don't have to get approval from anyone unless it's insurance. Woo, they're probably even tougher than parents. No, I'm kidding. But I'm dead serious. Insurance is rough. We're going through it with different things for Paige right now. And I'll tell you what, they just deny all the claims, okay? But anyways, here's the point. And I'm gonna end with a story of Lucy. You all know the video I posted about being a bad bitch butterfly. If you haven't seen it, it's pinned on my TikTok. It's a reel on my Instagram. It's IGTV. Because it was 3 minutes long. But in that, Lennon gives me this list for her doll Lucy of things to do. And I did the things that day on the list. And she asked me a few days later, hey, did you take care of Lucy today? And I was like, oh, yeah, totally. And she's like, did you? And I was like, no, I'm sorry. She's like, why would you lie? I was like, well, I don't want you to think. And she's like, mom, come on. And because we know the one rule in our house, you tell the truth and we'll go from there. Like lying is just not a thing. And so it applies to me too. And so a lot of, so I decided, I told her, I said, look, there'll be some days I can totally take care of Lucy. And then some days I'm sorry, I get distracted. You know, girl, like I got stuff. And she's like, Mom, I understand. I just appreciate you. And I'm like, okay. So today she left me a little note and I put it on my Instagram. And someone said, I love that you're doing it. And it was this realization that I had that when London was asking me to take care of Lucy, it was out of love for me, giving me something to do. I will tell you what, when I was taking care of her today, it was low-key therapeutic. People can say what they want, but it might sound silly. Why should you take care of your 8-year-old's doll while she's at school? Why should you even do that stuff or show her, hey, look, here's what I did with Lucy today and show her a little picture after school? Well, I'm building trust. I'm building trust that I take her seriously. I'm building trust that Lucy is important to her, so it's important to me. I'm building trust in saying, hey, if I say I'm going to do it, I do it. And if I don't do it, I'm going to tell you. I'm building expectations of trust and that I will tell her when I can and when I can't. And that I'll be honest with her about what I can do and what I can't do. So she's not looking for me to do something that I'm not going to do. So she's not disappointed. And so her feelings aren't invalidated. And it sounds silly and it sounds simple, but you can. By buying into some of the things that your child is passionate about, even if it's an adult, a doll that's important to her, that taking care of that is showing her love, that you're building trust, that you value what they value, even if it's not totally in line, even if I know that Lucy's not going to be mad if I forget to pull her out of bed, right? Even though I know Lucy will be safe in her car seat no matter where we go, right? But I'm building trust because she's a person. And her, the things that matter to her matter to me because they matter to her, not because they're my top priority. Like, I love you, but Lucy is a doll. And maybe she's not the top of mind thing I think of. I have 3 kids, a dog, a husband, a job, so many other things. But it matters to London. So something that's important to her matters to me because she matters to me. And that's the message I'm conveying. I'm not conveying that I have to be the boss all the time because like I said, that is a real authoritarian type of mentality that just says like, I want to be justified in all I do and I don't want to grow because your kids challenge you. And if you're up to it, that challenge, it's uncomfortable. That growth, it's uncomfortable. But if you're up to it, that learning, it pays off. And it up-levels who you are to them. Everyone just wants to write off gentle parenting as being your kid's friend. Seeing them as a human is not being their friend. It's being a human being. It's humanizing them. It's teaching them that when they grow older, regardless of people's opinions, regardless of people's beliefs, regardless of people's dislikes and likes, they're still a human being too. And there are certain things that as human beings, we should love and respect about one another, whether or not we agree. There are certain things we do for human beings because we care about human beings. And the one thing that reigns true is every single solitary person is a human being. You can't argue with me on that. They're a person. I'm not looking to be the cool parent, but you want to know why people refer to me or joke? I get sent that thing all the time, the videos about, oh, the cool parent, right? It's because you're treating them like people and that's cool. There's a difference between being permissive and letting them do whatever they want all the time out of no regard for anything. And not letting them do anything at all ever or having an opinion or a voice. There is a middle ground that has yet to be shared and discovered that nobody wants to acknowledge. There is a middle ground where you can see your children as people and people as people and still be validating in other things and still feel valued in other things. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It's not friend or parent. I refuse to believe that. I reject that idea. I can be a parent that loves them. But that feels like a friend because I see them as a human being. Because so often, kids don't feel seen by their parents. And it's not because they're telling them what to do. It's because they invalidate them constantly. Well, your feelings aren't that big. Not as big as mine. Makes it about them. My God, it makes half of us narcissists. The reason kids tell their friends everything is because their friends are usually like, gosh, that does sound tough. They validate them. They empathize with them. Because half the time they've got parents that are invalidating them too. To validate someone and show them empathy is not just a friend thing. It's a human thing. And I challenge you to reject this idea of friend or parent. You can be a parent that shows empathy and care and humanizes their tiny human. And society's going to tell you you're their friend. Society's going to tell you it's not going to work out with you. But do you want to know what? I've met a ton of people. And being the parent, I've seen it go all kinds of ways. And being the friend, I've seen it go all kinds of ways. So I'm going to go off of that data and say that I feel pretty good about my decision to be a safe place for my tiny people where I'm raising them to have these ideas so they can challenge other things, so they can stand up for themselves, so they can have those boundaries, so they can be sufficient in feeling confident in themselves, whether it's rolling a crescent roll at dinner, driving a 5,000 ton, whatever it is, car, telling someone no thank you and no means no, being kind, because that doesn't have to be nice all the time. And being validated and expecting that in relationships. I want that to be an expectation for my kids. Not a perfect science, because I'm not perfect. And neither will the person that they get into a relationship with. Their partner might not be perfect, and that's okay. Nobody is. But I want them to have these tools. So I encourage you today, and I've said this before, and I've touched on it before, to realize that society is going to look at you and tell you you're wrong. You're going to get an indulgent child that doesn't listen to what you say and just cries to get their way. But I'm going to tell you that you don't have to believe it just because other people are saying it. You get to have the relationship you want with your tiny human. And if you don't have that, you can have that. You can change it. And if you're not doing that, you can start. And if you don't agree with me, I totally get it. It's just my opinion. But I wanted to share that with you today. So I'm going to go. I have a million things to do. We've got to go get some things done because, like I said, we're leaving, fingers crossed, for the island of Maui. You all know we're going to be playing Moana the entire, like, I can't. The Moana soundtrack, Bob Marley is, and Jack Johnson is our entire Maui playlist. So if no one has told you today, you are valued. You are loved. You have exponential and limitless potential. Boo. Okay. I love you. I'm glad you're here and you're needed. I hope that you have a fabulous day. Please share this episode with someone if you loved it. Tag me if you listen. And if there was a quote that you loved, share it with me. I can't tell you how much it lifts my heart to see me sharing my musings and thoughts and people gaining any type of value for that. I feel so blessed to get to ask myself how I can serve you and how I can bring you joy. And I feel so lucky that you take the time to listen to me. So thanks for being here.